Summer, 1940. The previous year, at the outbreak of war, my brother and I left our home in the Channel Islands and came to England, he to join the army and I to go into the Auxiliary Territorial Service. Luke was now abroad, and so I was alone in England to hear...
Monday, the 1st of July. Here is the midnight news. As has already been announced, the Channel Islands have been demilitarized. It is now learned that enemy landings have since been made in Jersey and Guernsey.
A few days later, the Germans landed on my island, Armorel, effectively making prisoners of all the friends I'd left behind, including my cousin Lionel, a pacifist and a painter. And then there was Venus. Venus de la Baye was a pedigree Guernsey cow currently in calf. She and her babe-to-be were very valuable, and someone in London had decided that the Germans could not be allowed to keep her. And so, although I didn't know it at the time, I was about to become involved in a secret mission into enemy-occupied territory. A mission to rescue a cow.
We present Appointment with Venus by Gerard Tickell. Dramatized for radio in four parts by Michael Bartlett. With Karen Archer and David Collings as Nicola and Lionel, Michael Cochrane as Valentine, and Frederick Yeager as Captain Weiss. Part 2, Venus Observed.
Perhaps I should explain. I am Nicola Falaise, sister of the suzerain of Armorel, the feudal ruler of our tiny island home. In my brother's absence, the spokesman for the islanders in their dealings with the Germans was the provost of Armorel.
Ah, bonsoir, monsieur le provost.
Good evening, monsieur le commandant.
You are aware that I sent a report to the agriculture ministry in Berlin on the pedigree cattle of the island.
Yes, monsieur, I was aware of this.
I am happy to tell you that the pedigree cow Venus de la Baye is to be sent to Germany, where she will bear her calf. Compensation, in Deutschmarks, will be credited to the account of the absent suzerain.
But our suzerain will not wish Venus to go to Germany. He will wish her to calf here, for the good of us all.
I do not speak with two voices, but with one. Venus de la Baye will go to Germany.
Then it is my duty to tell you, monsieur, that I believe the islanders will resist you.
Until the time comes for Venus to go to Germany, she will be tethered in the top pasture under my eyes. That is all. You may go.
It was about this time that Major Valentine Morland entered the story. Not that I knew him then. It was early September, and he had just arrived back in London from... Well, actually, he never said where from.
In fact, I've been in Lisbon. Though if asked, I said it was Brighton. I booked in at Brown's Hotel, just in time for a full-scale air raid. Quite a night. By the time morning came, even the prospect of meeting Uncle George seemed preferable.
I won't be long. In the meantime, you may as well read this claptrap.
Uncle George. I had no idea of his real name, but this bare little War Office room had been the starting point for many different adventures.
Right, Valentine. Have you read the file?
I have.
What do you think of it?
It pleases me profoundly.
Why?
Hard to explain. But, well, in these days of battle, murder, and sudden death, it's really rather refreshing to see a gleam of pure sanity.
Want to take it on?
Gladly.
I was afraid you would.
Who could resist Venus?
I could.
What help do I get?
What does one need to rustle a pedigree Guernsey from under the nose of the Germans?
A first-class radio operator to begin with, and I know one. A sergeant from the Gordon Highlanders named Alexander Forbes. And a lot of local information. I've never been to Armorel, or any of the Channel Islands come to that.
Your best source is a new branch of naval intelligence which hides its light under a bushel in Oxford. Oh, yes, we've managed to dig you up a contact, some female battle axe in the ATS who used to live in Armorel.
Good.
As luck would have it, this Amazon is stationed in North Wales, but she's being flown to London this morning. When she arrives, we'll make her your driver, and she can take her to Oxford this afternoon. Pump her dry.
I loathe being driven by women.
My heart bleeds for you. Combined Ops, who appear to be as far divorced from reality as you are, have worked out a scheme for getting the blasted animal off the island.
Oh, yes.
You'd better get round there straight away. Be back here at 2 o'clock. I'll warn the intelligence unit at Oxford you're coming.
Thank you, Uncle.
And to think I'd planned a real job for you.
I still hadn't met Uncle George at this time, but the pleasure was not to be long deferred. 2 o'clock that same afternoon, to be precise.
Yes? Who are you?
Private Valles, sir, reporting from North Wales.
Oh, yes, of course. You're the lady who used to live in Armorel.
Yes, sir.
This is Major Morland.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Have you been allotted a staff car?
Yes, sir.
Good. You'll drive Major Morland to Oxford this afternoon and take orders from him until further notice. He'll be at the staff entrance in 5 minutes.
Very well, sir.
If that's a battle axe, I'll gladly be cut to pieces.
Attractive, was she? I'm afraid I didn't notice. They all look alike to me in that ghastly uniform.
There are times when I despair of the continuance of the human race. How'd you get on with Combined Ops?
Oh, a very enthusiastic lot. They worked out a plan for converting a motor torpedo boat to carry the cow and a kind of horse box arrangement on a raft to bring her off from the beach.
Will it work?
With luck, we should get away with it.
You don't want luck. You want a straitjacket and a padded cell. Okay, the file's all yours. There you are.
Operation Venus.
Colonel Dunn at Oxford is expecting you. Get what you can out of that young woman on the way and report to me here when you come back.
Contrary to my expectations, she drove very well. So much so that by the time we were approaching Beaconsfield, I told her so.
Oh, beginner's luck, sir. I never even saw a car until I was 14.
Well, why not?
I lived on the island of Armorel. We're rather backward there. No 20th century delights like cars or motorcycles. I only learned to drive when I joined up.
Armorel's one of the Channel Islands, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Jersey, Guernsey, Alderney, Sark and Armorel.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's a small island, about 300 people. Most of the islanders are either farmers or fishermen.
Pleasant scenery?
There's a steep hill, a colline des Mouettes, which winds up to a plateau from the harbour. At the north of the island, there's a passage between the rocks called Le Couloir du Diable. Nasty place. A lot of ships have come to grief there.
Go on.
It's odd how fond you can be of a few fields. There it is. Well, the cliffs are very high, and there's only one harbour, although I know a dozen landing places. There are two languages, English and our own patois.
Do you speak it?
Yes, of course I do. What else would you like to know?
Tell me about a place called La Pointe du Joie.
Pointe du Joie?
Hmm.
Well, I know it well. My cousin Lionel and I used to swim there when we were small. Well, you go past the abbey along a good road, and then it becomes a path which leads down to the sea. There used to be a landing place there because there's deep water, but it isn't used anymore except in an emergency. Tell me, sir, how do you know about the Pointe du Joie?
When did you get away?
Well, I didn't get away. When the war began, my brother and I just left. He joined the army and I joined the ATS. They taught me to drive and then made me into a cook. Their digestions have suffered ever since. But getting away was as simple as that then.
Are your parents still there?
Oh, no, they're both dead. There's only my brother and me. My cousin stayed on Armorel. He's a painter and, well, Lionel doesn't see the war the way Luke and I see it.
Tell me more about him.
Well, I haven't seen or heard of him since I left Armorel.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're here, sir.
Right. Now then, I shall be about an hour, so would you like to have some tea and be back here at 5?
Tea seemed like a good idea. It was obvious that my abrupt transfer from North Wales cook to London driver had something to do with Armorel. But why did he ask about Lionel and the Pointe du Joie?
Well, Morland, I gather you're in search of some local colour on the island of Armorel.
Yes, sir.
And I've asked my chaps to dig you out maps and charts and any holiday snaps they've got.
Thank you.
Uncle George tells me he's put you onto a female battle axe who knows the island.
Yes, sir. She's an ATS driver. More like a stiletto than a battle axe.
Hmm. Useful?
Oh, yes, very.
Good. We're looking for another contact for you. Odd character called Trawler Langley. He's reputed to know the local waters as well as anybody alive. Trouble is, we can't find him. Hasn't been home for 36 hours, but the search continues.
Where are you now, Lionel? What do the Germans think of your tortured pictures, I wonder? Oh, why did we waste so much time? Why wait till that last spring of peace before we admitted we loved each other? Do you ever stop and remember that evening when I called in at your house and found you gazing at that weird painting that seemed to be all skulls and misshapen men?
What do you think of that?
What is it?
It's called Vibrations on a Theme.
It was hideous. I didn't know what to say.
Nicola?
Yes?
If war comes, what will you do?
Go to it, I suppose. They won't let me do much. I'm a woman.
I know you're a woman. By God, I know you're a woman.
Not quite the words I dreamed of, but the meaning was plain. Why is growing up so difficult?
So you don't like my painting?
I think it's terrible.
Then you're a fool. I like you very much, Nicola.
And I like you.
I don't want you to go to the war. Can't you see that it's only if young people like you and me make a stand that the vile old men who want to destroy us can themselves be destroyed? Can't you see that?
But I couldn't see. All I saw, my darling, was that the man who loved me kept on talking when he should have been holding me in his arms. And we had so little time left before the moment came to say goodbye.
So?
I'm off to be a hired assassin, Lionel. When I come back, you must paint me in my uniform.
I can't go with you.
Of course you can't. I see that.
Bless you, Nicky. Come back soon from your bloody war.
Before I left, we climbed together, as we climbed so many times before, up the rickety ladder to the church tower where the ancient bell hangs motionless. And together we traced the inscription engraved on its dusty side.
Venez, montez à la maison éternelle.
Come, climb to the house eternal.
Ah, 5 o'clock, sir. My car will be waiting.
Oh, of course. Well, that's the best we can do for you until we track down the redoubtable trawler Langley. Where can I find you tonight?
Well, I'm living at Brown's Hotel, and I thought I'd probably dine at the Epicure in Soho.
Right. If anything happens, I'll ring you there. Best of luck on your trip. Keep your feet dry.
I'll do my best. Goodbye, sir.
You were going to tell me about your cousin who stayed on Armorel. What's his name?
His name's Lionel.
Ah.
He's a painter. I don't think I want to talk about him very much. But I'll tell you anything else you want to know about Armorel.
Fine. Tell me about your cattle.
Our cattle? What a curious question. Well, as a matter of fact, we're rather smug about our cows. They're pedigree Guernseys, you know.
Oh, I see. The point is, are they nice, quiet, obedient cows?
Very nice, very quiet, and most obedient. Why?
Oh, I just wondered.
And I wondered, too, about his interest in Armorel, and I wondered how Lionel was managing to live with the Germans.
Good evening, Mr. Falaise.
Oh, good evening.
May I walk a little way with you?
You're lord of all you survey. Who am I to stop you walking where and with whom you like?
You are not very gracious, Mr. Falaise.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Do walk with me.
How goes the painting?
Well, one of the prerequisites of decent work is a sense of freedom. One can hardly say that obtains in Armorel.
The occupation of the island is a military necessity, forced upon us by England's declaration of war. Oh, I think you will agree that I've tried to make our presence as unobtrusive as possible.
Yes, yes, I think you've done your best. But can't you see that one is conscious the whole time of the fact of imprisonment? If I tried to paint that field, it would become the exercise yard of a jail. If I painted the gulls, they would be seen through an iron trellis.
A pity. We are nearly at the Abbey. Would you care to join me in a glass of beer in the mess?
Please, don't think me discourteous if I say no. In an atmosphere of lugers and uniforms, your beer would be sour in my mouth.
You are consistent, Mr. Falaise. Your principles are stronger than your thirst, and that I admire. Please, accompany me to my office.
Is that a command?
Yes, it is a command.
The Abbé Drive had been meticulously trimmed. Every weed, every tuft of grass had been removed. I wonder if, as Lionel stepped into that hall he knew so well, I wonder if he thought of me.
Nicola.
It's a grand morning. Where should we go?
In here, please, Mr. Palais.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
You look as though you have seen a ghost.
I have.
I knew you were a complex man. I did not know that you were a psychic one also.
No.
Do sit down. Mr. Falaise, I now believe you to be what you say you are, an artist with no activity other than painting. Because of this, I've decided to give you permission to move freely about Amorel. Here.
What's this?
Paint your dawns and your sunsets where you like and at what hour you like. That is your passport. With that, no sentry will question your comings and goings.
You're a decent chap, Vice, but I can't accept this.
Well, it is because you too are a decent chap that I give it to you. Why can't you accept it?
Because I am, first of all, an islander of Armorel. And I'm unwilling to be privileged above my friends. I'm sorry, Vice, but that's how it is. Good night to you.
I cannot think of Armorel without thinking of Lionel. I see him in so many places, private places that we knew together. But perhaps best of all is when I see him standing by the old church tower. Above him, the motionless bell.
Venez, montez à la maison éternelle.
Well, thank you for all you've told me, Miss Falaise. I suppose you wouldn't care to dine with me tonight?
Well, I'm not sure...
Of course, if you have other arrangements.
No, no. Would you tell me one thing to satisfy my feminine curiosity?
Certainly, if I can.
Is this what might be called a normal invitation, or is it given because you want to find out more about the geography and cows of Armorel?
Well, I admit the idea first came to me as a means for further interrogation. But that was a long time ago, before we even left Oxford. And now you may take it as a normal invitation.
I see.
In other words, I would ask you to dinner, even if you'd never been nearer Armorel than Waterloo Station.
Well, in that case, I'd love to come.
I watched the Humber Snipe drive away along Whitehall, and suddenly realized that I was looking forward to the evening with anticipation. But first, Uncle George.
Well, how'd you get on?
Splendidly.
How about that ATS cook? She any good to you?
Miss Falaise is a living encyclopedia of Mareliana. There seems to be practically nothing she doesn't know about the island.
So I should damn well hope. The intelligence boys have done their usual trick of coming up with the information we want 24 hours after we wanted it. They have finally got round to identifying your island-born blonde.
Who is she?
You are moving in high society, Valentine.
Huh?
Nicola Falaise is the daughter of the late suzerain of Amorel and the sister of the reigning chap. Well, he's no use for us. Long-range desert group too far away. But her family actually bred the cow.
Huh.
Now, where is she now? Nicola, not the cow.
Putting the car away. Then we're meeting for dinner.
Are you? Do they all still look alike in that ghastly uniform? Oh, by the way, I sent your Gordon Highlander radio operator. He's coming south tonight. Come and see me tomorrow morning if you both survive the blitz.
One thing, Uncle George. If you think I'm taking that young woman with me to Armorel, you're making a great mistake.
Am I? Off you go to dinner, and don't start bellowing like a bull yet. Good night.
I was 10 minutes late at the restaurant.
Hello.
And when I did arrive, he didn't recognize me.
Gosh, what a metamorphosis.
This is my battle dress number 2.
Designed to knock the enemy sideways?
Or friends.
I'm reeling already. May I order you a drink?
I'd love a dry martini.
You shall have it. I hope you haven't got to hurry home or anything. I've got several things to talk to you about after dinner.
I thought you might.
May I tell you that you look exactly like who you are?
Oh?
The Princess of Armorel. You might have told me.
You didn't ask. Anyway, I think you're more interested in things than you are in people.
Am I? Well, I used to be. Now, may I suggest pâté maison, followed by coq au vin and a bottle of Ponte Cane. Now, would you like that?
Very much indeed. By the time the coffee comes, I'll be able to give you a positively lyrical description of the Pointe de Joie.
As she lifted her glass, I sneaked a glance at her left hand. No ring. It was a good evening, and we'd reached the coffee stage before I was summoned to the telephone.
Morland, this is Colonel Dunn. Forgive me for interrupting your dinner party, but we've located the gentleman whose name I gave you this afternoon. You know who I mean.
I do, sir.
Well, it appears that he has been having one of his periodic drinking sprees, which are invariably followed by a night in the cells and by public repentance. If you attend Bow Street Magistrates Court at opening time, as it were, tomorrow morning, you'll catch him on the rebound.
How will I know him?
You can't miss him. He's got a huge black beard. Let me know when you've had a talk to him, and then send him down to us for briefing.
By the time I rejoined Nicola at our table, I had decided that it was time to come clean.
You're looking very abstracted. Has my dress stopped working?
No, no. Tell me, do you know a man called Trawler Langing?
Trawler? Of course I do.
Tell me about him.
You do ask the oddest questions. You dart from road services to cows and now to local celebrities.
Tell me.
Well, all right. Trawler Langley is the modern equivalent of the Elizabethan pirate. He's lived in the islands all his life, and he's got an almost uncanny knowledge of the local seas. He's a robust character. He's full of rum, ribaldry, and laughter.
I see.
I suppose if I ask why you're interested in Trawler, you'll neatly change the subject.
No, I won't. Are you wide awake?
Very much so.
Good. I'm now going to tell you a story. It's a true story, or I should say it will be. It will have as its background the Pointe de Joie at Armorel, and its name is Operation Venus.
As he spoke, I saw the island in my mind's eye. Every lane, every hedgerow, every house, every person. Especially the provost, in whose hands my brother had left the welfare of our people.
Good evening, Monsieur le Provost.
Good evening, Monsieur le Commandant.
I have permitted myself the pleasure of visiting you in your own home. Oh, very cozy it is, too.
Thank you, Monsieur.
I have some information for you. Huh? The island of Amorel has been selected as a training area for a special company of shock troops.
Indeed.
They will carry out certain exercises in beach landings, cliff scaling, and demolitions.
When are they due to come?
Tomorrow. They will arrive by the gunboat Lübeck. They will be under independent command. And during their stay here, the most rigid security measures will be enforced. I regret that it will be necessary to extend the period of curfew.
I will make the information known to the island, monsieur.
Thank you. It is in the interests of the islanders themselves that this order is obeyed. Now, I must leave.
Bow Street Magistrates Court first thing in the morning can be a bit depressing. Even more so, I imagine, if you're in the dock and fined 5 shillings for being drunk and disorderly, as Trawler Langley was. He certainly looked pretty brassed off when I caught up with him in the street outside.
Mr. Langley?
Yes, I'm Langley.
My name's Morland. I think that you and this lady have met before.
Hello, Trawler.
Ha! Miss Nicola, by God! Do I know Miss Nicola? I helped her cousin to pull a mackerel hook out of her behind when she was 6.
Well, I hope it didn't leave a mark. Now then, come and have a drink.
A happy reunion. And later that day, Trawler and I met Valentine in the War Office Library, together with Alexander Forbes of the Gordon Highlanders.
Can I take this map with me, Mr. Valentine?
You can, Alec. Study it till you know that island like the back of your hand.
Right.
Now then, I've arranged for you to see the signals boys at 4, and you'll fix your transmission set and schedule with them. Any questions?
No, Mr. Valentine. No questions.
Right then. I'll see you tomorrow in room 057 at 10 o'clock.
Right, Mr. Valentine. Good night to you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Now then, Trawler.
Yes?
You will help to pilot us in. Do a recce on the spot and return to England. Then the next night, you collect us in the specially converted motor torpedo boat. But the first thing to do is to get down to Oxford for a general briefing. And stay out of the pubs, yeah. Right?
Sir.
Yeah?
Suppose when we come to Armorel to pick you up, you're not there waiting. What happens then?
If we're not there on time, it means Operation Venus has failed. Your orders, then, are to turn and go lickety-split for home.
Leaving you and Sergeant Forbes on the island?
Exactly.
I hear what you say, Major Morland.
And you'll do what I say, Langley. Now then, they're waiting for you in Oxford. See you tomorrow.
On my way, sir.
And then there were two.
That's absurd. I feel as if I've known you for a very long time.
Yes.
What may I bring you back from Armorel, Nicola?
What may you bring me back?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bring us all back. Alexander Forbes, Trawler, you, me, plus Venus. That's what I want most of all.
You're not coming, Nicola.
When you asked me about Armorel, I told you a lot of things. The ordinary superficial things I didn't know about Operation Venus then, now I do.
Does that make a difference?
Look, I'm not a conceited person. I'm very humble and frightened, but I do know that unless you take me with you, Operation Venus will fail, and you and Alec will end the war either in a prison camp or 6 feet down in the soil of Armorel, and I wouldn't like that at all.
Why should Operation Venus fail?
Because you don't know the island, and the islanders wouldn't trust you. If you're going to get Venus away, you need help. Well, for example, you don't know at what points on the cliffs the German sentries are posted.
Do you?
No, but the moment we land, I can go to any one of my 300 friends and find out. So could my brother Luke if he were here. You can't, because no one would tell you.
I see.
Please tell me why you don't want me to come.
You said a moment ago that Alec and I might end the war either in the Cairn or elsewhere. Well, I should think that's roughly true. If you were a man, it would be different.
How?
Well, you're the wrong shape, that's all.
Shapes don't matter in wartime.
Why do you want to come?
I want to come because I can be useful. I said once, to my cousin Lionel, actually, that I was a woman, and because of that I couldn't do much in a war. This is a moment when I can do something, in spite of my regrettable shape.
I didn't say it was regrettable.
Good. So I'm coming. Yes?
The officer part of me knew she was right. The human part still felt it was a mistake. Like all good officers, I put the job first, but there were to be many times over the next few days when I wished I hadn't. All this for the sake of a cow. How very English, but still, how very dangerous.
In part two of Appointment with Venus by Gerard Tickell, dramatized for radio by Michael Bartlett, Karen Archer was Nicola Falaise, David Collins, Lionel, Michael Cochran, Major Valentine Morland, and Frederick Yeager, Captain Weiss. Hugh Dixon was the Provost, Jack May, Uncle George, Geoffrey Matthews, Trawler Langley, Stephen Rashbrook, Alec Forbes, and William Simons, Colonel Dunn, and the newsreader. Venus was played by Percy Edwards. Technical direction was by Chris Lewis, assisted by Nick Herron and Dave Howe. The production assistant was Nikki Hildebrandt. This was a BBC World Service drama production, directed by David Hitchinson.